deep in the mirror to find everything that isn't right with myself. God only knows I've tried to fight it, fight it. It's just the world that's always crying, crying. The devil is a liar, says he can give you everything that you desire. Everything you want, but you be playing with the fire. So don't believe the lie, it comes at a price. Looks like you got somewhere to be. People you need to see, gotta keep up. They say image is everything, making it hard to think that you're enough. God only knows you've tried.
Praise God. Good morning. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And good morning to Jesus believers all over the world. Good morning, this morning, to sinners. Good morning to the lost. Good morning to all those that don't know Jesus, but are going to meet him through one of you. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is a good morning this morning. And I'm excited about Jesus, you know. I'm always excited about Jesus, but some days I'm more excited about Jesus than others because I see him manifest himself. I see him reveal himself, and that just stirs up a whole new excitement. I want to talk about something. I want you to get your anointing oil ready this morning. Get your anointing oil ready to anoint yourself and get you some paper towels because I'm going to deal with something. I don't think I've dealt with it in about maybe two years. Maybe two years. But I not only feel God is telling me to deal with this a little bit this morning. So get your and put me some give me some too. This is something that needs to be dealt with. I'm excited about Jesus. You know what? We're the blood bought church. That's who we are. Every prisoner has kept to be set free. brothers and sisters. You see? Excuse me. I love it. I love it when people come here and I'm able to look at them and see these spirits that have been hiding or trying to hide and able to hide because maybe somebody doesn't know how to get them out or doesn't have enough anointing flowing in enough power to deal with them. Only have enough power to deal with what I like to call sometimes the fleshly stuff, you know. But it's not the fleshly stuff that mess you up. It's the hidden works of darkness that truly mess you up. That's the truth. So when people come here, I'm able to genuinely see what the issue is, what the hidden issue is. And then they're able to genuinely get free, for real, and go on with their life and go on and be able to do something for the Lord. Now, as you know, yesterday I asked, the Lord really called them to come here. But guess what? They came. And now, you see, it always takes the forerunner. It always takes the forerunner gift to pioneer people on in and pioneer people on through. So God provided what he needed to open up those floodgates. And they're open. Trust me, in the name of Jesus, they're open. We accomplished a mission for God yesterday. I don't know how to I can't speak for anybody else. But I can speak for God, and I can say that the Lord is pleased. So much so that he, like I say, he opened the floodgates. What floodgates, Erica? For deliverance? The floodgates of deliverance are open. Now, it took a lot. It took a sacrifice, my sacrifice, and it took each one of them interrupting their life, the point that it's at, which, you know, I don't know because I'm not real nosy, but it took them willing to yield to what they thought was the voice of God, and it was, but I'm just being real with you. And they obeyed, and I don't know, maybe Bola and Pastor Hattie would like to say something. If they don't, it's okay, because it wasn't done for a spectacle. It was done because God asked me to do it, and I did what he asked, and he did what I asked. I did what he asked, and he did what I asked. Because deliverance took place here yesterday that 10 years ago, it would have taken me about the freedom, the one, I'm still not done with the family. I'm still working with the family, but the deliverance that I did yesterday with one member of the family would have taken me about at least 6-7 months, maybe. But God did it in less than 6 or 7 hours. I did what God said to do, and God did what he was longing to do all the time. All the time. Right. the anointing of ease. It's flowing. And not just here in Dalton, it's flowing now through them. They took that home with them to their own work, to their own ministries. And I am just, man, I felt like I was in heaven. When I finished that deliverance yesterday, I felt like I was in heaven. I did. So if you want to say anything about it, Minister Hattie or Minister Bola, you can go on the blog talk and press 1. If you choose to, if you don't, keep it sacred. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But you know what? There's a joy in being obedient to God that I can't explain it. And then Minister Hattie, I asked her to ask her son to call me up because I got my equipment and I want him to now come up with a beat for me. Now I want to do my own music so that I can, you know, I don't have to deal with the copyright laws, you know, just the intro and ingress and egress music. Praise God. But, okay, let's see. Okay. Mr. Hattie, I got your mic open.
Good morning, Dr. Erica.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. I'm blessed.
It's no words that could really describe what took place yesterday. And God is so amazing. He is so loving. He loves us so unconditionally. Even when we're not obedient to him, he still loves us and shows us grace and mercy. And I thank you for your obedience to him that allowed me to be ushered in to what he has really, really called not only me, but us to do for his people. And I am so grateful for that, and I'm so humble. And I, like I said, what happened, what transpired yesterday, there's no words. There is no words. And I could just, I'm still in amazement.
Yeah.
I'm still in awe. I'm still in the awe. It's just the joy that I feel now. I can't describe it.
That's what I be trying to say. You know, like, when you meet God for real, you know, it ain't no like, you know, Jesus, I met Jesus. When you meet Jesus for real, sometimes he say, when the angel came, not even Jesus, he said he was sick nigh unto death in the presence of those angels. So brothers and sisters, we all have what the Bible calls seasons and times. I see both. We all have seasons and times. And even although they were together, it was a totally different experience. That's what I love about God. He don't duplicate nothing. He ain't got to.
Amen.
Good morning, Bola.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. I got your spiritual connected sister here on here with you.
Praise the Lord.
Bola, you're the only person I know that's more serious than me. You more serious than me. And I'm serious.
not really. I just wanted to say, literally, my finger pressed 1 of its own accord because I'm really used to just, you know, being quiet. In the background, I want to confess that I had literally resigned myself for a life of spiritual mediocrity. I know that sounds terrible, but I was okay just being okay. And so it looks like the the Lord wants to thrust me out of my comfort zone. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, but so I literally just said, okay, Lord, now what now? And then he has been ministering to me in the quiet of my heart. Just wait and see. I would lead you where I want you to go, and I will show you what I want you to do. And I just said, okay, yes, Lord. It's just that simple. There was no fireworks. I've never had a life of spiritual fireworks. I've had to just believe God for the next thing. And somebody once commented to me that, oh, you have a lot of faith. And I said, I don't have a choice. Before me is the Red Sea, and behind me are the Egyptians. I have to do something. I have to believe God for something or fall back and die. So, yes, I do in dire situations. I have no choice. I have to move forward. And then I was particularly, you know, intrigued. And Sister Erica didn't know that, but she told me to march. And I said, Lord, you have a sense of humor. Yes, yes. That is exactly what I need to do, you know, just march. Just march. And then that's what I'm doing. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Erica, can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
She said that she was just talking about the mediocrity of her spiritual journey, whereas me, on the other hand, I knew that there was more to it. And, you know, I had this sense of, when I first met you, I had a sense of urgency that there are things that I have to do, there's things that I need to do. But, you know, in my mind, I'm like, Lord, I know what you showed me. I know what you said. And, you know, sometimes in the beginning, you know, who are we to question God? It's going to happen on his timing. And I knew it was just like urgency. I have to do this. I got to do it. I can't just sit back. And I knew that there is something more to what I see. It's the believing. It's the attitude of not being a Moses and not missing my promised land. So I knew it was coming, but it was only on his timing. And I knew that he had something destined better for me than the now that I have.
If I
just learn to trust him and be obedient.
Well, I tell you what, God knows each and every one of us by the heart. And they tell me you went over there to the Oakwood Cafe.
I did. And I remember what you told me. It's going to be Monica, her husband, and her mother, and her sister. It's going to be four of them. And, okay, I walked in the cafe, and I sat down behind them. And I said, okay, well, it has to be this couple, these people here, because there's only four of them in the booth. You know, everybody else was by five or by two. And I sat behind them. I didn't say anything at first. And she gave me what she calls a Jesus smile, right? She didn't know who I was, and I didn't know who she was, but she smiled at me anyway. And I was sitting there, and I was waiting for the right time. And the Holy Spirit said, go talk to them. Go speak to them. You know it's them. And I got up, and we had a conversation. And I can say I have met some people that I feel connected to.
Amen.
Through you. So God is almighty, and I give him the glory for that.
Amen.
It's a pleasant family. And they paid for my dinner, Dr. Erica.
I heard. And you didn't know nothing about it.
I did not. I was ready. I asked the waitress for my check. She like, oh, that couple already paid for you. And I was like, oh, man, I had to text Monica and tell her thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
You know, It's about time we start acting like the family of God, don't you think?
Ma'am, I agree.
It's about time to realize that we got brothers and sisters all over this globe, all over this world. And it's time to meet them. It's time to see your lost cousins. Just watch out for them around dinner time. Brothers and sisters, there is joy on this ministry. But the most important thing, I think, and what I am discerning, is that we have peace. We coming into peace, or, as Bola put on there, ease. See, when you enter into ease, and when you live in ease, it just makes it so good. So good. And see, when Monica was here, I don't know how long ago it was, but she met Jessica's mother over the phone. And this time, she met you in person. So I'm just, I see God moving. I see God moving. And he's working in families. He's restoring families. I'm happy about that. Because God is happy about that. Because God created man so that he could have relationship and so that he could have a family. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So he's about families. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, if either one of you have any kind of closing, anything you want to say, say it now.
Well, I just want to quickly, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Bola.
Well, I just want to quickly just testify, because I had told the Lord that I would testify real quickly that I was laid off my job a couple of months ago. And when it happened, you know, first person, of course, I went crying and whining to was Sister Erica. And she just, she prayed with me just quietly and quickly, like just, you know, prayed. And I also told the Lord, I want a testimony out of this. And within a week, of applying for jobs, I got several rejections and one acceptance, and I got the job. And I just want to say, praise God. It may sound like a little thing, but
that's
if I didn't have a job, I would be homeless. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Now, you didn't tell the other part. It's a better job.
It's a better job. It's better pay, better everything. And I would never have voluntarily left my old job, because I'd been there for such a long time. Even if the Lord told me to move, I wouldn't have. It was too good, too safe. But he had something better, and he pushed me out. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Change. I preached about it for at least 2 years. Change is here. It's here.
A change has come over me.
He changed,
he changed
my life, and
now
I'm free.
He washed away all my sins, and he made me.
Change,
wonderful change,
and the more.
About these particular spirits here, because I did it on Shannon's show, a show I did on Shannon's show. This is what I want to talk about. I posted it up there, involuntary demons, involuntary demons. And I'm going to deal with them in a few minutes. You see, invisible yet vile entities called demons and evil spirits exist. But what a lot of people don't understand is there are involuntary demons, involuntary evil spirits. Okay? People think that, well, I mean, the chief way you get demons anyway is from sin. However, you can pick up a demon. You can pick up an involuntary demon because an involuntary demon targets you. Involuntary demons are hunting for you. Are you with me this morning? I'm gonna just. Involuntary demons are on the hunt. They're on the hunt, and they're always on the hunt for a crack in your armor, for a wall. So, this is what I want to alert you to And I want to introduce some of you to, if you're not aware of them. Jessica, maybe you could find that old teaching I did on involuntary spirits from Shannon's show. If you can, post it. If you can't, Jose, can you see if you can find it? Involuntary demons. I might have put it under walk-in spirits because involuntary demons can walk in. Okay? So I either did it under walk-in spirits or involuntary demons. But they exist. And they foster and they feed and they interject every kind of misery from relational disharmony to sickness and even death. You see, these spirits are kind of like a universal familiar spirit. And they can transfer on you without being a part of your generation or without you having committed a specific sin yourself knowingly, okay? Because you can sin unknowingly as well. Or they can come in through witchcraft. And the witchcraft can have been perpetrated by somebody else, but it hits you through transference by your association or coming into that atmosphere or that geography. I'm sure that what happened yesterday is that a lady moved into an apartment and the old, you see, I didn't call somebody old because I'm old myself. The old lady that had the apartment and died in the apartment was a witch. That means that when that old lady died, it wasn't no instantly translated to heaven, and it wasn't no instantly going to hell with that soul and those demons and those familiar spirits. And obviously, from what I gathered through the deliverance, the old lady, because the old lady said, and it spoke with his own voice, you know, I'm an old lady. I said, okay, what is this? And so then, you know, I say, are you a witch? She said, yes. Well, I said, were you a witch? And I couldn't make out what it was saying because it did not want me to understand that. Oh, look, Juliet found something. Involuntary demons manifesting through the brain and the emotions. YouTube. It's on YouTube. Yes, thank you. So if you want to know more about it, I got a YouTube video up there. Because I know I teach about this, but it came up. And so this demon said, when I said, were you a witch? He said, yeah. Yes. And I knew then that thing had been looking for a body. You see, I tell you all the time, demons have to have a body. Evil spirits have to have a body. They prefer a human body. But if they can't find a human body, and I'm gonna clarify on that a little bit too, they will get into an animal. Now, I don't want you to think by any stretch of the imagination that witches are dumb. Get rid of that. Get rid of that notion. Even if they were dumb, they have so many evil familiar spirits that can provide them with so much information that they're not dumb anymore. Just remember, they copycat everything from us. Everything Jesus did and everything Jesus does, they pervert it. Okay? And they find a way to pervert it. So, this witch, that spirit, had laid dormant in that apartment until somebody came in. Now, the lady that came in has spiritual gifts. Listen to this. But their spiritual gifts have been tied up by another witch. Okay? Another witch had tied up their spiritual gift. And they can do that. All they need you to do is to come into agreement with them on anything. Okay? So, when this spirit identified this lady having gifts, but the spirit, remember these are familiar spirits, divination and necromancy I'm talking about. But the gifts have been tied up by another witch. And so that spirit came on in. Now the peculiar thing is, and this is why you must have the gift of discerning of spirits, and it must be activated, and it must be functional, and you must use it. The Holy Spirit was trying to warn the lady, but the lady just kind of like brushed it aside. So when she brushed it aside, then the spirit could come all the way in. And it did. And it was causing heart palpitations. Then we find out that the familiar spirit from the witch that died in the apartment died from a heart attack. And much, much fear. But the fear that was in the spirit that died in the apartment, and the old witch died in the apartment, by the way. So that's why I said we have involuntary demons that sit and wait. They'll wait a long time until they get that body because they know they're going to find somebody. Why? Because the devil going to draw them to that spot. And like a magnet, the witchcraft gonna draw them. Gonna draw them. And that's what happened. So I knew, and I got one on the way here right now from Texas that's more bizarre than what I'm telling you. And when they get here and get free, that it's gonna be textbook. Textbook. You know what I'm saying? Like they're going to need to write a little book about this, about what they went through. Anyway, these involuntary demons and evil spirits, they foster and feed on misery. They foster and they feed on misery from relational disharmony to sickness, and even death. These evil spirits torment and oppress. That's their job. To torment and oppress human beings and animals. One of their primary objectives of these involuntary demons and evil spirits is to have an influence and lock into the human personality and the physical body. Their job is to complicate the lives of the people whom Satan is targeting. And in this instance, it happened to have been a lady who loved God with all her heart, but had been a victim of a soul exchange and not knew it. She didn't know it. And you cannot know it in the natural. But another witch had hijacked, are you hearing me? Hijacked her gift of discerning and her ability to discern. So you see, the devil, who is the commander-in-chief of all demonic forces, devils, whatever, the devil would prefer to attack God directly. But because he can't, he then opts to attack the crown of God's creation, and that's you and I. So the devil uses these spirits, which happen to be evil, and which happen to be inhabited by humans, which is how we get what? Evil human spirits. The difference is, All of these demons and evil spirits have varying strengths, and they are come in a multiplicity of types, but all of them have been given specific destructive inclinations. And their chief goal is to manifest themselves in flesh and blood hosts. They operate in a number of ways, but again, their express purpose is cruelty to human beings and producing misery. Okay? I'm talking about these involuntary demons now, okay? These involuntary demons that have their own agenda to bring and disrupt marriage, to cause emotional upheavals, to cause mental disorders, to cause bizarre sexual appetites, to bring about verbal and physical abuse. They utilize a lot, the mouth, the tongue, hear me, to cause, listen to this, economic frustration. They want you to be poor. They want you to have lack. And they want to destroy your body by one calamity after another calamity. So therefore, they love inflicting people with reoccurring diseases, reoccurring sicknesses. Basically, any miserable, tormenting form of torture that they can. But Jesus, remember, he calls it oppression. Any type of oppression, heartache, broken heart. Do you know things that cause your heart to ache can have demonic origins as well? Anything that causes your heart to be broken can have a demonic origin as well. These involuntary demons cause sporadic episodes of depression, anger, anxiety, and any other problem that they can bring into your emotions. Sometimes they'll even use abusive parenting and adult trauma. The sad part is they will attempt to trick your mind and lay demonic guilt on you or demonic human pride on you, which then, if they can, their goal is to bring you into any type of habitual sin. And guess what else? They inhabit areas within your body in the hopes of causing hormonal imbalances. And they'll use that to incite demonic and demon evil, I call it, I guess. But I want you to write this in the chat room about eight people. Spiritual, emotional pain. Can you write that? Spiritual, emotional pain. Spiritual, emotional pain brought about by involuntary demons. Spiritual, emotional pain brought about by involuntary demons. Involuntary demons will scan you almost like a radar. They're looking for any kind of occult involvement. Because if there's any kind of occult involvement, even a simple thing like your horoscope, even that, they'll use that as a vehicle for demonic infiltration and infestation. Any kind of occult superstitious practice or artifact. The third eye jewelry, the evil eye, it's all kinds of it can open up you to involuntary demons. You see, these involuntary demons, evil spirits, are opportunists. You hear me? They're opportunists. And they're looking for an opportunity, any opportunity, to violate and defile your human body. A lady said to me yesterday on the telephone, calling me up from Medford, Oregon. I think that's what she said. Something like that. No, Medford, Massachusetts. I don't remember. It was Medford somewhere. She called me up and she told me that the Holy Spirit told her to read the Bible backwards. I said, I beg your pardon. She said, God. I say, oh, which God? What's God's name that told you to read the Bible backwards? She said, well, God told me. I said, what did you read prior to God telling you to read the Bible backwards? She said, I read the Book of Solomon. I said, oh. I said, was that the Book of Solomon that have his secret, supposedly, and his symbols? She said, yeah. And the prayers of the song. I said, sister, you've been committing Bible witchcraft. She said, not me. I said, I'm going to tell you again. You have become a Christian witch. That lady slammed that phone down so hard in my ear. I said, Holy Spirit, go get that lady. I said, Holy Spirit, go get that lady. She's been misled. And you know that lady called back. And she said, I'm sorry. She said, but I don't even know why I hung up on you. Something just took over me. I said, well, the Holy Spirit said it's what you all be doing in the basement of the church. What y'all be doing down there? She said, oh, we engage in sex energy. I said, what? I said, so y'all say this in the bottom, in the basement of the church, y'all do satanic rituals. She hung up on me again. I said, Holy Spirit, go get that lady. She called me back again. I said, now let me tell you something. I'm not going to waste time with you, and I'm not going to let you waste time and transfer anything on me. I said, you have engaged in Satanism, and that's called sex magic, and you've been involved with sex rituals, and obviously you've been involved with it with your pastor, and your pastor is the leader of a coven. This time she started crying. I said, now I'm not going to deal with you over the phone because I don't even know whether you're real or not. I said, you might be on a recruiting mission and your job might be to come and transfer that stuff through my ear gate. I said, if you want help from me, I suggest you find a train, a plane, a choo-choo, or something, and you find your way to Dalton, Georgia, okay? And you let me know prior to coming so I can fit you in. I said, because right now, your Lord is Satan, and I renounce you in the name of Jesus. The lady started screaming in my ear. Her family ran up there. You know, what are you doing to my wife? I said, getting Satan out of her and the rest of the hell that's in her. And it's in you, too, if you attend that same church she go to. Then the daughter said, I told her. I said, well, you know what? She don't listen to God because they got her so bound up she can't listen to you. So she called me up, and the Holy Ghost had to penetrate all these layers of Satanism. I said, do you go to that church? I said, now look, you don't know nothing about casting out demons, do you? I said, because if you did, your mama wouldn't be in that shape. I said, I want you to go. Do you have any kind of oil? She said, we got some. I said, go get the vegetable oil and let's anoint it and bring the whole bottle and pour the whole bottle all over your mama right now after we prayed over the oil, anointed the oil. So that's another family that's coming in September, 1st of September. But they'll be here before the end because mama in messed up shape. Now, this church is up there, I think she said Medford, Oregon, wherever they are. They're doing sex magic and sex rituals in the basement of the church with the pastor. Sick. But anyway, these involuntary demons, as I'm saying, they're opportunists. Now, this lady done transferred on a whole lot of people under the guise of getting help. I know what kind of help she wanted. She wanted to transfer. See, look, they all bad demons. But you and I have an innate spirit. Are you hearing me this morning? We have a distinctive, essential power within us, second only to the Trinity. And that is our inner spirit or as some people call it, the hidden man of the heart. But it is your inner spirit, your human spirit, that becomes regenerated, and it makes you new, a new creation in Christ, born again. You have a personal identification within you, and it's in you whether you're born again or not. Because if you're not born again, it hasn't been regenerated. It hasn't been made new. But if you have been born again, you have a new personal identity in Christ, in you. Now, the Bible depicts the spirit of each person, hear me this morning, as the guardian of his or her inner walled city, interior house. Well, where is that at, Erica? Glad you asked. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, copied out. It reads like this, Proverbs 25, 28. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn thy way. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refreshes the soul of masters. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It's not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Some people who are very strong in character and spirit can defend their inner territories, brothers and sisters. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We have the resources given to us by God to be in charge of our own soul. Most people are not as adept at keeping their city walls intact as their pride might lead them to believe. You see, pride often precedes destruction. Pride weakens city walls. Pride can cause an individual's inner spirit to overlook the approaches of enemies waiting and wanting and desiring and working to break into his house. Involuntary spirits can jump through city walls in your soul, in your heart, in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, and in your intellect. They can jump through the breaks and the gaps. Brothers and sisters, involuntary demons are looking for any invitation, any opening that they can find that they are stronger than your area of weakness. They will then pounce. So what you're trying to say, Erica, I'm trying to tell you, it's not always just sin that can cause an attraction for an involuntary demon. They're looking for a crack. They're looking for an opening in your inner man. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. They're looking for anywhere that you have weakness that can become a repository for themselves. They're looking for any area where you've been worn down, even by traumatic events, where you've been worn down by negativity and negative people, where your walls have been weakened, brothers and sisters. They know they can't entirely possess you because you're owned by the Holy Spirit. That's not what they want to do. They want to reside on you or in you to influence you. Go! Involuntary demons want to attach themselves to you. And then they work and they work and they work to weaken you so that they can come in you. In the name of Jesus, I want you to renounce involuntary demons this morning. In the name of Jesus, I renounce involuntary demons that have found a crack or an opening, or they're just hanging on, trying to find a way into my soul. I bind up all involuntary demons. You say that. Involuntary demons, you are my enemy. I bind up involuntary demons in my atmosphere. I bind up involuntary demons in any part of my soul. I bind you in chains and fetters of iron, covered with a blood covering of the blood of Jesus. And I command you to go. Command them to get out of you. Go! Command them to get off of you. Go! Command them to loose you in the name of Jesus. And be bound. Be bound. I renounce involuntary demons. Go! Go! To the pit. To the pit and remain sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Judgment for you has come. Redemption for me is here. Go, all involuntary demons. In the name of Jesus. Go! Loose yourself. Go to the pit. Go! Get out. All involuntary demons, all evil human spirits utilizing involuntary demons, I break your power this morning. Go! In the name of Jesus. Go! Especially that demon called lupus. Go! Get out. Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is Lord. Go! All opposing spirits to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Go! Get out. Right now. We break your power. Go. Go! Lord God, restore, heal, fix, rebuild. Any breaks, any chinks, any gaps, refill. Rebuild and restore the walls, the hedges in our inner man this morning. Heal. Heal the inner man. Heal those walls, those protective walls in the city, protecting our soul. In the walls, protecting our soul. Feel, heal, recreate and restore. Build up stronger. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. I destroy the power of all revenge, retaliation, lashback. You cannot revenge, take retaliation, or lashback on any person, any family member, any generational family member. Go! I destroy the work of involuntary demons through divination, necromancy. Go! Get out. Until judgment from Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Father God, recreate. Recreate and restore everything that has been stolen by the palmer worm and the canker worm. Restore. Rebuild, renew, and recreate this morning. And Father God, by your own Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you this morning. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise
somebody
the Lord.
Give me praise.
Hallelujah.
know a man who can calm a storm anytime, any place, anywhere. I know a man who can raise the dead anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can open blind eyes anytime, any place, anywhere. In a storm, he'll meet you there. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Rain or shine, dawn time, on time, any place, anywhere. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Just five loaves and two little fish. Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Father God, every area that's been emptied out, fill, God, more of you, more of you, fill, to overflowing capacity, fill, God, fill them up, more of you, fill, God, fill.